This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
Ooh, is that your new voice? And I'm ZD Donahue.
I'm resisting the urge to do a Moira Rose voice.
Yeah.
I was...
Mallory's been watching Schitt's Creek. It's new to her.
Yes. I'm probably at this time when this podcast is published, I may have finished the
series. If I wanted to do that when I was watching Schitt's Creek, you would have thought I was crazy because you wouldn't have known what it was about, right?
That's dumb.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, it's an amazing... A lot of people have said this, and I needed to hear this too, but it gets better after, like, episode four.
Well, it took me a little while to get into it. A lot of stuff does that. There's several, like, original, like, Netflix things and stuff like that like, everybody raves about, and I'm like, I have to watch four episodes sometimes before I'm okay.
It took us, like, 2 years to finally get into Schitt's Creek, and then we started watching it together, and then Derek had to, like, go in the camper. I'm like, we finally get into it, and then you have to go into the camper? He's out of the camper
now. I'm trying to figure out how to watch stuff without Jerry knowing I watched ahead and then watch it again.
So you have to get your own Netflix account?
Yeah, I've got to get it where it doesn't come up on one of our TVs. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I guess I could do it on my computer. I mean, on my phone.
Well, you need your own account because
I'd have to get a new account because it still shows.
It'll show. Okay. I don't think it's worth it.
Well... Yeah, I'm not a good liar anyway.
When Derek was in the camper, he's like, I can see you've been watching Great British Baking Show without me. And I'm like, yeah.
Gotta watch something.
I had to do something.
Yeah.
I barely watch TV now since I have to work in the evenings anyway.
Right.
We used to watch, quite a bit of TV,
Well, and then, the other night, I happened upon a movie. I'm like, oh, this is pretty good.
On Netflix?
Well, it's better than watching something, right, and then going, oh, my God, I just wasted an hour and a half of my life.
See, okay. I haven't watched The Crown yet because that's something.
I haven't been watching The Crown either.
That's something that I would normally watch on my own.
Well,
but there is no more on my own time.
Well, the reason I haven't watched The Crown is because it's up to when I lived.
Yeah, I'm not as interested.
I'm not as interested. I know about this. I lived through it.
I kind of liked sort of the more historical.
I just want to sort of leave it at how I already think about it now. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, I'm sure we'll get lots of, there are lots of opinions because it's a very controversial. Yeah.
Well, the best thing about The Crown, honestly, I'm sorry, is the costumes.
Of course, yes.
That's a lot of stuff.
Oh, what's her name? The woman who's playing QE2, Olivia, the actress. So Claire Foy had been playing her, and now Olivia, I can't remember her last name, is playing her. And she is a really good actress. I don't know if you've seen her in other things, but I really do enjoy her. So anyway, moving on. What's Differential Feed?
Well, it's not on Netflix.
You know what? Differential Feed is not something that is discussed widely on
anywhere.
The internet.
Well, you do have sewing machine companies talking about it. I think you see more about it on a YouTube thing.
Well, if I Google what is differential feed,
you'll get
something. My God, it is totally our article first.
Do we come up? Oh, we're first in line. However,
when you... So sometimes ZD and I aren't sure if we've talked about something on a podcast before. And
we Google ourselves a lot.
I know we've mentioned differential feed. I do believe we've talked about it. But if we go to the podcast app and search all the podcasts, have the other sewing podcasts done a podcast about differential feed? And we look and we search differential feed. No, nothing comes
nothing
up.
Comes
Actually,
up
a
on
bunch
a
of stuff about parenting comes up.
On differential feed.
So I'm like, is it about feeding?
Is it you feed them differently and they come out different?
I don't,
It's like the queen bee versus the worker bee or something.
like self-led weaning versus I don't know what. Oh, yeah, oh. I have no idea. But there was some there no sewing podcast came up when I went into the podcast unit because as I don't know if any of you all are
okay,
like
I am laughing.
Yeah, she's red. I don't know if any of you all are like business people or bloggers or whatever, but I feel like something that a lot of marketing, you know, media likes to be like, you know, YouTube is a search engine. The podcast app is a search engine. You didn't think of it like a search engine, but it's a search engine. And people really like to kind of try to freak you out with this. And actually, it was asked of me one time during an interview process, what's the second largest search engine? And I said YouTube, and I was right. So anyway, you can search in
my second largest.
Yeah. Okay. So you can search in the podcast app for like, you know, thread and, you know, see what comes up or whatever. Right. And I searched for differential feed, and there ain't no differential feed episodes from
ain't
us.
No.
Nowhere
All
anyone
right.
else. Okay.
We're
so,
looking for some English lessons, grammar
yeah.
lessons, too.
That's an acceptable way to say
I know it's
it not.
Is. Well, it just, is now.
We'll just come up yes. with, I'll look back at your colloquialisms, okay? There are lots of different ways to use the English language. Okay, so differential feed.
Oh my
We're
God.
We're talking about this.
Is this. My life. I interact with this person like almost every day.
Almost
every
Except
day.
Except when I'm going through caffeine withdrawal and I.
And no one and wants I, to react with you.
I was down for the count. Okay, so differential feed, we're talking about this on a serger. So if you don't have a serger, just turn off the podcast app. You've already wasted 6 minutes of your life. So sorry.
But if you're thinking about getting a serger.
No, it's good information to have.
Okay, and here's what you, okay. I do not believe there is a serger that is sold today without differential feed.
Okay.
There were sergers made without differential feed in
okay.
the early days.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because what, you know, the serger became are the overlock machine. So in some mm-hmm. in some areas of this world.
I mean, some people say ain't. Some people say overlocker. Some
Really? So, in fact, if you try and spell serger, you will get autocorrected
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, server.
So anyway, or surgery or something.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So the overlock machine turned into a home machine, right, mm-hmm. that we like to use on knits.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. And it is amazing, and it remains amazing. And what we found out is that knits sometimes, when they are fed through the overlock slash serger, would ripple, right, when they went through. So you would not have a nice flat finish on your stitching. They might be ripply. So what had to happen? So that knit was being pulled.
You just jumped. Like, I didn't know where you were going
okay.
with that.
I did jump. I didn't think I jumped. I thought oh my God, I thought I was doing really well.
Mom was just trying to get on topic, and she took me off guard by being so on topic. Yes, yeah, so serges are used on knits. And sometimes they get wavy.
So you're finished, right? You're finished sewing, right? Would be ripply.
Yes.
And why did that happen, Mallory?
Well, sometimes, okay, knits, when we say knits, it can mean so many different things, right?
There are lots of knits now.
Infinite. Okay, so you
yes.
can talk about
a non-woven fabric.
Yeah, you can talk about fiber content difference. You can talk about the weight of the fibers that are knitted, how they are knitted. Is it a rib knit? Is it a plain knit? You know, what's going on
Four
here?
Four-way, two-way?
So no matter what,
does it
though,
have lycra in it? Not a...
Yeah, so the... You know, your machine theoretically is staying somewhat the same, yet you are putting a different structure of fabric through it, a structure of fabric that stretches, okay? So sometimes the pressure of the presser foot or, you know, even maybe your stitch length or something like that can cause some waving to happen as the fabric is being right. fed through.
Because it is fed through basically almost too easily. Okay, it's being pulled too quick. It's being spread apart and pulled through.
So I was, so I'm looking at our blog post called "What Is Differential Feet on a Serger?" It is from 7 years ago.
Wow.
This podcast, I believe, will be published on January 8th, and this is from January 29th, 2014.
Wow.
That's why it comes up first on Google. Write the blog post you want to write right now, everyone.
That's right.
Okay, so in this blog post, I show a shirt that I made, and it's a what I like to call a spongy knit, okay, that waved when I sent it through on neutral, which we're going to get to.
It was spongy and loose.
Spongy. Well, no, I wouldn't call it a loose knit.
I thought it was loose.
It's not. It's over there. You can look at it. It's not a loose knit. It's over there on the shelf.
I know where it is.
So it's like almost a light scuba. Like it's not a loose knit, like a hatchy knit or a sweater knit is what I would think of as a loose knit. Anyway, it's spongy. And when I just fed it through my serger, it got a little wavy. So serger companies, serger manufacturers, they came up with a solution to this problem, Mom? Is
yes.
that right? And what is that solution called?
Well, it's called differential feed.
There,
but
thank
what
you.
It, but what it physically is a second set of feed dogs.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. What it's called. It's called the title of the podcast. Thank you. I didn't think that was a hard one to lead you into. But
I
was worried there for a minute.
She thinks she can read my mind.
Okay. So it's called differential feed. And so what we're trying to do is ameliorate the consequences of knits getting stretched while they're sewn. Okay. And since we have just been so tangent-y on this podcast, we're going to take a break and come back and define differential feed. Hey, ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
All right, so unlike this podcast, the blog post is very succinct. It gets right to the point. All right, so it's two sets of feed dogs. You kind of gave a little spoiler there, a little information.
Well, it's two sets of feed dogs that are moving at a different rate. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Ha.
Okay, differential feed. So sergers nowadays, you're saying that... Yeah, I guess I can neither confirm nor deny that there's a serger made without differential feed.
I had one.
But, I mean, made now.
Oh,
like,
made
can
now.
Can I
say
for sure?
I would be really surprised. I mean, obviously, we don't know for certain.
I guess
we have not researched
sure.
that. But I can't believe there's one out there.
So how do you know if you have differential feed? The differential feed, like, selector is probably going to be somewhere. Well, you know, I've seen it anywhere. It's on the right side of
the baby
locks.
Usually it's on the right side of the machine.
But I have seen them elsewhere.
Yes.
And it's going to have some sort of gauge.
Well, you used to have to, like, there were some machines where you had to go inside the machine and change it.
Yeah, I bet right. there were. So there's going to be some kind of gauge. And what the differential feed, what do I want to say, scale on the baby lock is there is a red N.
Which means, to me, neutral.
And it also should represent the number one on a number line.
Which means 1 to 1.
Yes. And then when you go up or to the right, you know, what this would be to the right on the number line or up on the scale here to like 1.3, 1.5, 1.8 to 2. When you go up, it changes the rate at which the feed dogs
go. So you are now increasing the rate of the rear feed dog.
Oh,
right?
I thought it was the front that changed. Are you?
I think it's the rear.
You would probably know.
Yeah, it's
okay.
The rear.
Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Because it's what's pulling it.
Okay, so the two sets of feed dogs on your serger, and in the blog post, we have a really good visual of this. I took the foot off the serger, and you can see front feed dogs, back feed dogs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Ooh, in this blog post, it says the back feed dogs stay constant and the front ones change. I think that's right, Mom.
Maybe you're right.
Okay, we took a little quick break. I don't know. Sam probably could have put this together seamlessly, but we looked at the owner's manual, and the blog post that people have been looking at for 7 years is correct. Okay. So that's good.
Well, it makes sense.
Yes, yes.
I'm thinking about it now that never mind. I know yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the front
feed dogs. Is what changes.
Yes.
Feeds it through faster or slower.
Yes.
Yes.
So when you have your, so you've got your two sets of feed dogs. The back feed dogs are actually behind the needles on our baby lock.
Right.
If you look at the picture.
The back feed dogs are behind any needle, yes.
But, you know, that space there, it's not like the back feed dogs are a little in front of it or something like that. They really are. Absolutely behind the needles, and the front are in front. They're both covered by the very long foot. Serger feet are normally pretty long, you know, compared to your sewing
machine.
Well,
a feed
dog
will not work unless a foot is matched with the foot because it has to be pressed down on those little teeth.
That's right. So when you're at N, the feed dog in front and the feed dog in back, they're moving at the same rate at 1 to 1, just like you said. And then when you move your differential feed up toward 2, between 1 and 2, the front feed dog will move faster. Okay, this is what can sometimes take care of that rippling.
Right.
Okay, so what's happening with the rippling is that the fabric's getting stretched out.
Right.
And so we really don't want to be like just pushing at our fabric or, you know, pulling at it or whatever. That fabric is going to be fed a little faster toward the needles, and you get a smoother looking seam.
Right. And I was thinking about this. I have actually used this with wovens also.
Well, yeah.
You know, I said, you know, with knits, and that's basically how it came around.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had knits that were very loosely woven, and because I said
loosely woven,
came to me. Yes. That has really helped me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what happens in those loosely woven ones is it's only gripping so many, you know, fibers at a time.
Yeah.
So it has helped me. And that's been, you know, not real common, but I can remember it helping me.
So if you have something that's getting stretched out, then you want to gather it up a little bit. And you really, this can be super duper small incremental change.
Right.
Okay. And on the baby lock, there's a graphic that looks like gathering fabric.
It actually shows you, like, you know, little arrows pointing, like, towards each other, which means it's, you know, gathering it up, or arrows going, spreading out from each other.
So below one.
Right.
Below one, between 1 and 0, it shows a stretched out piece of fabric. And so if you were getting a knit that was going through and kind of gathering up a little bit, if you wanted to, you know, correct that, you could go the other way. Now, that's how it originally came about. But then
Then it started to be used for technique.
Yes, then people started exploiting this capability to do decorative stuff. So first and foremost, the first way that I learned about differential feed was like how to make a ruffle. Like that was the first way in the shop saw it demonstrated, because of course it's a really good way to demonstrate, oh, we're going to send this thin woven through the serger, and first it will be straight, and then we turn up the differential feed and it turns into a ruffle, right. You know, so it's a really good way, of course, to just show this is what's happening. Right. So that's a really extreme example of what can be done. When you do send through a thinner fabric and you turn that differential feed all the way up to 2, you know, to where it's gathering, you get a ruffled piece of fabric. And so that is super fun. I feel like it doesn't always work as well on knits. Like,
right.
You know.
Well, and you know, it's
you
not,
just want to create a standalone
ruffle. It's certainly
ruffle.
Not a gathering, like a ruffler foot that pleats on your regular machine.
Right.
Okay. And if anybody out there does heirloom sewing, it's more of what I would call a puffing gather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I love doing heirloom on a serger.
Yeah.
It does. It really
empires
works.
Created around that, right?
It really looks cool. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes,
empires
they were. Yes,
created
they
around heirloom sewing
they
on the
exist.
Serger.
Yes.
So you get a ruffle going that way. And then the fun thing that we would often show off in the stretchy department, in the below one, where that front feed dog is moving slower and stretching out that fabric, is to kind of get you started on the lettuce edge.
A lettuce edge.
On a knit.
On a knit. Or a bias.
Or a bias.
So it has to be on an edge that will stretch or give. Now, right here, I'm going to just warn everybody before it starts happening when they tell me, well, my lettuce edge doesn't work. It pulls off or it doesn't sew on. Or you're right. Because what happens is when you increase that differential feed like that and you're spreading that fabric out, it also sort of thins the fabric and pulls it away from the knife edge.
We talked about
right. The
serger spaced time continuum.
Right.
Because,
that's right.
Because Mary Berry had on her lettuce edge shirt.
That's
okay,
right.
So this is why I watch Great British Bake Off. But
for the shirts.
Yeah, for the shirts, for Mary Berry's shirts. And that's so right. So I want to, when you start to use this to kind of correct things, let's talk about some of the pitfalls of differential feed.
Okay.
First pitfall, it's on the right side of your machine. So when you like move your machine or you like are working around it or something, you can bump it on some models.
I don't, like, especially on Baby Lock, for some reason, it moves so easily, I guess. I don't know. But
well, it's a big old lever.
It's a big lever. And I put my tools next to that area, right, on my table.
You know,
when I'm reaching for things, I will tend to hit that lever.
You know, when I think it happens, I think it's when we open and close the cover to thread it. Is when I think a lot of people bump it.
Well, that might be true too.
Yeah.
It's just in a place where your right hand goes often to do tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have people with brand new machines and they call up and they're like,
oh,
it was going so great. And then, I'll say, do you know where your differential feed is? Remember how we talked about that? It's that lever on your right. Oh, yes. Can you tell me if that's on the end? Oh, it's not. It's way down at the bottom. I go, okay. Change it and see if you're okay now. And they're like, yes, it's perfect. And I still do that to this day.
Oh yeah. Like,
I mean,
I've been
I just
like, what the
do
hell?
It. And again, like Mallory said, if you're moving it or something like that. But like I said, I also have like a pin cushion over there usually. My seam gauge. All my little tools are over there.
This
on that
would happen
side.
When people would bring their machine to class.
Yeah, right.
A lot. You
it
know.
Can and you can do it when you're threading.
Yeah. Or when you're putting it in and out of like your machine trolley. So if you're somebody who goes to class a lot, you know, this can be on your checklist to before you start.
Again, and that is something always and forever, no matter what machine you're on, whether it's an overlock.
Make sure you haven't screwed up your settings.
Yeah, look at your settings. I mean, you know, it's that simple.
Okay, so you can bump it.
Right.
All right. And then when you're ruffling for fun, okay, and you're not just correcting a wavy knit fabric.
Right.
So every fabric's going to ruffle differently.
That's right.
Okay. You may not get the level of ruffle you want right away. Okay. So don't expect this to create like some super pleated ruffle like you were talking about. And there are different ways to ruffle on the serger. You can serge over a cord, mm-hmm. just like you can zigzag over right. a cord. But when you serge over a cord, you do finish your edge. So that's yes. kind of nice.
Well, you know? And I would call that gathering.
Yeah, no, yeah. for sure. Yeah. And then the other way, remember when we made all those roses when yes. Baby Lock did that thing? So they had you send through, like, you know, this double layer strip of silk so that the one edge was folded and you were, you know, serging on the long, you know, two unfinished edges. And you put your stitch length real high and you put your differential feed all the way up
right.
and you made sure you had needle threads that were hanging out long
that's right.
behind your project. So you would serge that and you can use the serger needle threads to gather up your fabric right. a little more. And we made all these roses that were pins.
Right.
Okay. So that's something that you can do. But you can send through some fabrics and not get a super ruffled appearance.
Right.
Okay. So it's possible.
Now, the other thing you can do, which is fun, uh-huh. is if you had the gathering foot,
mm-hmm.
is you can send through two pieces of fabric and one will gather and one will not. So you can attach a gathered piece to a stable flat piece.
Yes.
So that is so much fun.
That's a really cool way to demonstrate, hey, the feed mm-hmm. dogs are doing the work here. Because what the gathering foot is it's like a normal presser foot, but then it has this like sort of slot on it that extends down below the foot and blocks one piece of fabric right. from making contact with mm-hmm. feed dogs. And so, or with the front, excuse me, with the front feed dogs. See, Mom? Yep. There we yep. go. That should have been our big clue. It blocks that fabric from being in contact with that. So the bottom fabric that's like in contact with the right. foot and the feed dogs gets gathered. And that top fabric that is shielded by that little guide. And it's really cool. Yes, you can totally do that.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. And so you need to test, though, right. like on the fabric
so
you're
using. So people would say, well, how much fabric do I know I need?
Yeah.
So test. So I would take, say, what I would do is figure out a ratio in my head.
Right.
Right. So if I take 20 inches of fabric or 10 inches of fabric, you know, I try mm-hmm. and make it something so it came out easily,
right.
easy arithmetic. So if I took 10 inches and I got 5, that would have been a 2-to-1.
Right.
Right. Now, that's a really good gathering for a serger.
That would, okay? that would be.
That, you know, that's probably the most you would ever get.
Yeah.
You know? And it would have to be a lightweight fabric. So this won't happen on a heavy fabric.
And that's why the heirloom sewing is so right. successful, because that really lightweight cotton batiste,
right.
you know, would work really well. So the ruffles can be super fun, but make sure to test so that you don't right. expect something and you get a different result. Now, let's talk about the stretchy differential feed and the pitfalls of that, like you were saying. So people already, I feel like, on a normal serger, let their fabric or their project pull off to the
well,
left.
And sometimes not only do they let it pull off to the left, but they will tend to pull it from the back.
Yeah.
And you don't need to do that.
It's
your feed dog should be feeding, not you. You're the guy,
you're
not
a supporter.
The feed. Right.
Yeah, you're a supporter. Okay. So I feel like some people's serger stitches are falling off, you know, already. And then if
right.
you've bumped your differential feed or you're trying to do a lettuce edge or something
right.
like that, then you are going to run into a right. problem.
I mean, oftentimes, no, even if you're set at neutral, depending on your fabric or you know what your project is, you will need to have your hand to the side there and make sure that fabric's not coming out to the left, that it's staying pushed up against, you know, the blade.
I had a client who had the Imagine, and she was putting a rolled edge on one layer of tulle, and
yeah.
they were circle skirts.
Yep.
And normally I'm not a huge fan of telling people to mess with their presser foot pressure,
mm-hmm.
but in this case, since she was going around a circle, she was running the full gamut of grain, all the
grain stretch, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Grain, infinite amounts of different types of bias, the true bias, and then the cross grain, you know. And so I did have her put her pressure down a little bit because she was on such thin fabric. And okay. It did help her.
And that helped. And if you were on a heavier fabric and you put your presser foot pressure down, mm-hmm. it may have forced it out.
Yeah.
So you have to think of those different right. things that can happen.
But when you think about tulle versus like yeah. two layers
tulle
of denim.
Needed to be grabbed onto.
Yeah, it so, really, we really yeah. needed to make sure. And I did tell her to guide it toward the knife yes. too. You know, really make sure you're getting in there. That's also where you want to make sure you're cutting something off. Okay,
yes.
if you can. I know it's not always possible, but it's nice
you
if you can.
You always get a better edge if you're cutting off something.
Yes, and it helps you to, you know, to you're guide. Not yes. you're not afraid of cutting
well,
off.
Well, your feet does have something to grab onto.
That's right.
The other thing is when we're talking about these techniques, like Mallory said, you know, she added the presser foot pressure. Plus she told her to, you know, push towards the knife or, you know, at least hold it towards the knife. All of these are exactly, when we say technique, it is technique. Mm-hmm. It's something you may have to practice a little bit or decide what your technique is. So maybe Mallory told me to put my presser foot down, and I just, you know, I couldn't get along with it that way.
Right.
So maybe I had to put my presser foot pressure back up, and I had to use just my hand.
Right.
You know, so these are all suggestions. These are all techniques that work. But again, what's going to work for you? And maybe you're not good with that. Pushing that towards the, you know, it just depends. Everybody has a different comfort level on the technique they're using.
And different projects. You know, this was
it
real
changes.
Specific.
Yep.
You know,
it will change.
I am finishing millions of layers of tulle,
right.
you know, or whatever, and this is what worked for her. So, yes, differential feed is using the two sets of feed dogs on the serger to change the rate at which the fabric is fed through.
Right.
Okay. Either to adjust a fabric that isn't behaving well or, you know, you're not getting a smooth seam. So it can be to adjust to get a smooth seam or you can get decorative effects from, you know, exploiting that those differential rates of movement.
So, Mallory, how do you think I got a lettuce edge on my serger that didn't have a differential feed?
You stretched the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that was another thing I was going to say. A lot of times just the differential, and we talked about this in the lettuce edge episode, a lot of times you put that differential on and you got to stretch it some more to really get the
lettuce.
If
you really
want
what you want, and depending,
yeah.
on, again, on the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes your fabric just isn't going to stretch enough by the mechanism. You need to stretch it how
right.
you want.
Or I guess depending on like how much of a lettuce edge you want.
What you want,
seen,
right.
You've seen like itty bitty little, I don't know what like curly kale
I was
going to
say curly kale
Swiss
versus
chard. Or,
yeah, I was going to say that. Butter edge or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, the different lettuces that are out there.
Right.
We grew that. It's called dinosaur kale or... it's like an Italian name, and now it's just slipping my mind. And it is a curly.
Yeah.
Like you can tell the cells are splitting in exponential, you know.
Well, it's
amounts,
usually a little bit,
you know?
Tougher too.
Well,
yeah,
one
like
time,
rougher.
One time, we got some of that really curly kale
yeah.
in our CSA, and I tried to use it to make creamed greens, and it was kale that I don't think had been allowed to grow. Or develop as much as it should have. So it was all real close to the stems.
Yeah.
And it was just too rough.
Too rough,
even
yeah.
Even after I...
So they tell you to massage your
Well,
kale.
I yeah. had done a lot of stuff to it. And I was like, this
right.
is... These are some rough
It's not
going to
happen, huh?
Yeah. And I love cream
it's
greens.
It's just too uptight.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
The nutmeg is very important in the creamed greens, everyone.
I use nutmeg in everything that's green.
Do you?
Yep, I do.
Well, okay. Okay, ZD.
And eggs.
Yes, very true.
Yeah.
Yes. Use your nutmeg. Use your differential feed. ZD, take it away.
And I don't know if you could figure out how to use them together. We would like to hear from you.
Differential nutmeg.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.